time the wind blows puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago. Usually when we play this music, both Gordon Goldsborough and I are swaying gently to the music, but I'm just swaying gently by myself here in the studio because Gordon Goldsborough is not here. He's out in the field. We have him on the phone. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Nadia. Yeah, we're out at Delta Marsh.
What are you doing there?
Well, I'm teaching a class in wetlands, and actually my class wanted to say hi. Is that okay?
Of course. I love that because some people may or may not know you're actually a teacher in biology at the U of M.
That's right, I am.
So you're out in the Delta Marshes, but we can't deny our listeners the abandoned Manitoba segment. So thanks so much for taking the time to chat to us. Now, I wasn't here last week, so remind me or let me know and remind our listeners what the hint was from last week.
Well, I said we would talk about a place in western Manitoba that speaks to the skills and the interests brought here by Italian immigrants. And I meant specifically one Italian immigrant named Lorenzo Sarginia.
Now, who is or who was Lorenzo Sarginia?
Well, I haven't been able to determine everything about him. I know he was born in Rome. This is a prime example of what to drive genealogists nuts. According to the 1911 census, he was born in 1861. According to Manitoba Vital Statistics, 1858. According to the 1921 census, 1855. And his gravestone says 1838. So a huge range in age. I have no idea how old Lorenzo was.
So there's quite a wide range, sounds like.
Oh, yeah. Well, and that factors into the story.
Okay.
So Lorenzo, apparently, in his youth, traveled extensively throughout Europe. Apparently, he spent quite a few years in Scotland, where he learned the skills of stonemasonry and bricklaying. And then ultimately, he came to Canada in 1903, and he settled in Winnipeg. For a while, I guess he lived as an aging bachelor, but I guess his thoughts began to turn to marriage. So through some mutual friends, he learned about Maria Cellis, who was a young widow living in Italy. Her husband had died suddenly, leaving her with two young daughters. Well, it turns out, I guess they corresponded for a while, and ultimately Lorenzo decided, yep, she was the one, and so he sent her the money for her passage to Canada, and they arrived in 1908. Originally, they lived in Winnipeg and for about two or three years, but it's a little cryptic, but according to the family history, it says that they had some issues in Winnipeg, that Maria, who was apparently quite attractive and vivacious, was drawing attention from quite a few younger men, so they figured either they were going to have to move or the marriage wasn't going to survive. So they decided to move to a farm in rural Manitoba. So they picked up the two daughters, they moved out to the farm, and then subsequently they had four more kids.
So she was so attractive they had no choice but to move?
This is what it says in the local history book. I don't have a photo of her, so I can't speak from firsthand knowledge, but apparently if they didn't move, the marriage was going to be doomed.
Where was their farm?
They bought land in the vicinity of a place called Beald, which is located about 10 miles east of Roblin in western Manitoba, sort of near the Saskatchewan border. And the specific piece of land they chose was quite hilly, and so they built their home. They built a barn on the side of a gentle south-facing slope. It's actually an attractive little valley, and I can see why Lorenzo, if he was from Italy, where there tends to be a lot of rolling hills, he might have been attracted to this. You know, it might have reminded him of the land of his birth. And so he used his skills as a stonemason to build a very comfortable home, a barn for livestock. And apparently he also did custom masonry for other people to support his family. For example, he built the stone foundation for a school building at Beald.
Are the buildings still there?
Well, apparently the foundation of the Sarginia home and a manger, the stone manger from its barn, were still present in the 1980s. And I couldn't find them. I went and looked for them and I couldn't see them. But the landscape itself is really a sign of their residence. So Lorenzo was an avid gardener, and he began to develop extensive gardens around their hillside home. So around 1918, he began to sculpt the side of the hill in a way that had been pioneered probably centuries earlier by his Italian forebears. So what he did is basically he stacked long rows of stones, neatly fitting them all together without the use of mortar to create low, long retaining walls. And the basic idea was to create level plateaus up the side of the hill, you know, where he could plant his garden. So basically give him places where he could garden without having to walk on a slant as he was walking.
What sort of crops did he grow?
Well, I wasn't able to find out exactly the sort of crops, but I imagine he grew many of the same crops as other Manitoba gardeners of the time. But I've always wondered if the conditions of his site might have enabled him to broaden the kind of range of crops that he could grow there. So, for example, I did find a mention that Lorenzo had grown grapes. Now, of course, Manitobans know that there are some grapes that do grow in Manitoba, but not ones that you could use to make wine, unless you had a site that was particularly well-suited. And, you know, the fact is that this particular site is sheltered from the harsh prairie winds by the surrounding hills, and its south exposure would have provided abundant sunshine. So it actually, I think, might have provided just the sort of microclimate that areas elsewhere in Canada that they grow grapes would be similar to those. So, you know, it would not surprise me at all if Lorenzo had a nice little vineyard there amongst his garden.
That, I imagine, would have made him quite popular.
I would imagine so. In fact, the Sardinias were known for their hospitality. The hillside homestead was near the line of the Canadian National Railway. And apparently hobos that would be riding the rails would often disembark before they arrived at Beald, and they'd actually come to the Sardinia home to beg for food. And apparently, by all accounts, Maria Sardinia would never send them away without something. They would go away with a loaf of homemade bread or something else.
What happened to that garden?
Lorenzo Sardinia died at home in 1936. And so, again, various estimates of his age at the time of death were either from 78 years up to 93 years. And he was buried in the cemetery at Beald. And I guess because he was the sort of the patriarch of the family, Maria and their children moved to the Okanagan Valley, which, of course, is another, you know, grape-growing region. So that's why I'm kind of thinking that the Sardinias were grape growers. And Maria died there at the age of 91 in 1965. The Sardinia farm here in Manitoba went through a succession of hands after the Sardinias moved away. But it appears that nobody maintained Lorenzo's massive garden since the 1930s. And so in the ensuing 80-some years, they've become quite overgrown.
Why do you say so? What's left of the site today?
Well, 3 weeks ago, I had an opportunity to actually go there. And initially, I didn't think there was much evidence of the Sardinia homestead. The hillside that matched the coordinates that I had been given was heavily overgrown with a mixture of mature trees, shrubs, mostly carraganas. And I absolutely hate carraganas because they're terrible things to walk through. So I bushwhacked around a little bit, but I found no sign of the house and I found no sign of the barn. I did find a few remnants of stone walls, but nothing that I felt matched sort of the grandeur that I'd been led to believe. So I thought, well, here's a case where my drone can come into play. So I sent the drone up in the air. Lo and behold, there were at least two long stretches of these stone walls. And just as I'd been told, when I actually went to find them, made up of these flat pieces of stone, nicely fitted together without mortar, sitting about 2 feet tall. And, you know, although I was wondering if maybe there would be remnants of the grapes, you know, the grapes were still growing wild there. Unless I was able to bushwhack through some of those nasty carraganas, I just couldn't find them. So I looked, I couldn't find any sign, but it really is an attractive spot. And I thought it would be a great spot for a home. And in fact, while I was there, a train went by, but no hobos disembarked.
You know, it would have been lovely to have seen a picture or just an image of what that looked like when the vineyard was, you know, in its full glory.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and the Sardinias did leave numerous children who have sort of spread out across North America. I may be hoping that the word gets out that I'm interested and perhaps one of them will have a picture of the farm in its glory. So I'm hoping that the listeners out there can help.
That would be great. Gordon, thank you for this.
Mm-hmm.
What's the clue for next week?
When a U.S. president leaves office, a library is built in their honor, and their former homes are often treated with great respect. Here in Canada, on the other hand, former prime ministers tend to be forgotten, a fact that is well illustrated by a house here in Manitoba.
I like it. I like it. Gordon, hopefully see you back in the studio next week.
I'll see you in person next week.
Thanks Gordon.
Thanks, Nadia.
Every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba, many moons ago.